हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्थु सहवीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। ॐ जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यप्रभुनित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैतगदाधर शिवसरिगौरभक्तवृन्द। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। Joy. So now Krishna's come to Indraprastha and met with Yudhishthira, and then so many great sages in that had come, and then Narad Muni comes, and then he talks about different things and all that, and then it's decided that Krishna, how you say, will he and Bhima and Arjuna will go and fight with Jarasandha, right? So we've seen that Narad came to Yudhishthira in Indraprastha, Narad came to Krishna in Dwarka, now Krishna's with Yudhishthira in Indraprastha, and then it's being discussed. So Yudhishthira in the beginning was not appreciating the idea because he was thinking it's too dangerous for everybody, but when he saw that Krishna's focused on this and Krishna being the Supreme Lord, then what can be the problem? So then Yudhishthira assented to Krishna's desire. Seeing your mind set upon this purpose, O Keshava, I consider Jarasandha already killed and all the imprisoned kings released. You will certainly lead Bhima and Arjuna to victory over that evil monarch. O Krishna, what cannot be accomplished by one who has you as his guide? The three heroes decided to set off immediately. They dressed themselves as snatakas, students just finishing their education and seeking charity. So the snatakas, that means they finished in the Gurukul training. Then they may go out and travel, go to holy places. There's some further specific specialized education they wanted to learn that wasn't, let's say, taught in their particular school. They go to another school because they already have the foundation and everything from their school. And so then, so they'll go and naturally, because they're traveling, they'll be begging and all that. Snataka means one who's been bathed, so that means they're actually a graduate, because in the ceremony, then they're sprinkled with water, and so then, so then it becomes a very good thing because they were just as brahmacharis. Then the problem is why aren't you in your ashram? But if they're snatakas, that means they've graduated. Now they're free to move around until they finish their education, then they'll generally go back to their home and settle. So a Naistika Brahmachari wouldn't graduate, they just stay lifelong Brahmachari. So the Upakurvana Brahmachari, they graduate and then they become Snatakas. And then generally it's just time they get themselves established and get themselves married and carry on life like that. Leaving Indraprastha, they resembled the sun, moon, and fire god joined together. Their wrath towards Jarasandha inflamed their bodies appeared to blaze. Because he's just behaving badly, Jarasandha. When the people saw the three of them resolutely heading out, they considered Jarasandha already killed. They traveled east for many days. At last they came to the Gaurata Hill, from where they could see Jarasandha's capital, Giri-Viraja. Sitting in mixed forest land, the city was beautiful with its lakes, grazing cattle, fine mansions, and palaces shone from the city center, and five large hills covered with blossoming trees surrounded it. So they had all these nice, how you say, hills around, so it's kind of sitting in a nice valley, but it's not completely closed, so if it rains, the water can go out and everything like that. And so then it has plenty of space around it for the cows to graze and everything. Because in the Vedic sense, you have a city that, depending on the size of the city, that much land outside is to be left empty for grazing, farming, and all these different things like that. So there's never such a thing as that the city goes, if they want to make it bigger, they have to put more land. So if it's a small city, you know, a small town, it has a small amount of land, you know, enough for that town and everything, for them to grow everything and to take care of the cows. Now, if the city wants to grow, they have to have the resultant bigger place. So at some point, I mean, unless they're out in the middle of nowhere, then they can grow however big they want. But it just means no two cities will ever touch, because if they do are close, they'll expand to the point where their land meets, and then they can't expand anymore. So then if you want, then you have to create another city. So this modern thing where cities just merge and you end up with, you know, the mega city one. You know, you don't, that's not the system. Krishna told the two Pandavas that Manu, the father of mankind, had long ago personally developed this region. So that's why it's very special, because Manu would have set it up, you know, and properly according to Vastu and everything, what would be perfect for, you know, managing a city and a kingdom. The largest of the five hills, Chaityaka, protected the city's main gate. The three heroes ascended this hill, began to tear down its peak with their bare hands. That's strong. They hurled boulders and created a landslide. At the foot of the hill was a massive drum made from the skin of a Rakshasa that Jarasandha had slain. Having been struck once, the drum would vibrate for a full month. That's a big drum. And Jarasandha had it continually sounded to warn anyone who even thought of attacking the city. Arjuna and Krishna smashed the drum to pieces. Right? So they're just showing a little bit of, you know, prowess there, just to create the environment, because they want him to you know, accept this one-to-one challenge. Climbing down the hill, they clambered over the wall surrounding the city to gain entrance, right? They didn't go in through the gate. The guards stood back in surprise as three apparent Brahmins made their unusual entrance, right? If they had walked in the gate, then they're Brahmins. They would have let him come, because Jarasandha also is very respectful towards Brahmins. What we see here is that they came, climbed over the wall, and so then the guards were, okay, but, you know, they are Brahmins, so okay, you know. Bhima led them along the streets towards the king's palace, right? Because they've never been there, but one is by just the kings all know each other's place and everything. That's just part of history. History means you're starting from the past and coming up to the present. So then, in this way, the kings, they would know all the other kings, what their cities were like, what the layout is, everything like that. It's just part of knowing, you know, everything. So the geography of everything, and that would be there. Besides that, then if you build according to Vastu Shastra, then there's a standard way of everything working. So you know according to the directions, east, west, north, south, where everything in the city will be, because it's then in the appropriate place. So it gets the best, gives the best influence. So in that way also, he could just take them just by Vastu Shastra straight there. They saw numerous attractive, well-stocked shops, and they walked past the flower vendors. Oh, as they walked past the flower vendors, they snatched garlands and put them on. They strode into Jarasandha's palace and made their way to the central courtyard, where the king was performing a sacrifice. Right, so you have the thing, then the central courtyard, that'll be open. It's generally the you know, court would be held in, you know, one of the surrounding buildings or one of the surrounding areas. Courtyard's always to be open, so that's the gardens and everything. And then besides the gardens, you're going to have the aspect that they can perform their yajnas, they can have programs there, you know, everything can be done. Girivraja's Brahmins had been witnessing fearful omens portending calamity, right? So they've been seeing omens that there's something wrong going on. And that, because already, you know, they're making trouble and they're coming there. Thus, they had advised the king to fast and perform sacrifice to ward off evil. As Jarasandha sat before the blazing fire, he saw three powerful men dressed as snatikas and adorned with garlands approaching him, right? So it doesn't naturally match. Accepting them as Brahmins, he immediately rose to greet them, saying, "You are welcome." Welcome meaning, not welcome meaning, okay, you've done, welcome meaning, please come, like you're welcome to come. Krishna told the king that his two friends were observing a vow and would not speak until midnight. At that time, they would tell him the purpose of their visit. Krishna knew that the king had himself made a vow that he would give to any Brahmin whatever he asked, even if he came at midnight. So they're taking advantage of that. Jarasandha had them quartered in his palace and said he would visit them at midnight. You know, it must also be that there's a particular time there and it's very good for establishing the fight, so it'll be bad for him, good for them. That night, Jarasandha entered their room and worshipped his three guests with proper ceremonies, offering them gifts of milk-bearing cows. But his guests refused his worship and gifts. Krishna said, "O king, we have come seeking a special kind of charity from you, who are famous for giving the Brahmins whatever they want. For a great man, there is no charity that cannot be given. Even the body may be sacrificed for a proper cause. Therefore, please grant us our request." Right, so just that he presented it like this means, okay, what do they want? Because Brahmins, generally you worship, you do the regular standard things, you know, giving them wealth and cows and that. And you know, if they need it, they'll use it. And if they won't, they'll give it to other Brahmins. So, you know, it's just part of the ceremonies. But these wouldn't accept, and they wouldn't accept the worship. And they're talking about that, you know, a proper man, you know, a properly trained or religious man here like that, you know, someone who's great, then he'll give whatever the Brahmins want, even if it means, you know, that the body needs to be given. So then it'll be said, where are they going with this, right? Jarasandha looked at them closely. With their colorful robes and bright garlands, they did not look like any Brahmins he had ever seen. But as they had come to him in that guise and were asking charity, he could not refuse. He said, "I will give you whatever you may ask. However, you three do not appear to be Brahmins, dressed as you are and decorated with flowers. Your long arms, smeared with fragrant sandalwood paste, resemble tree trunks. Your hands carry scars from a bowstring," right? Because there's a certain way when you're shooting that the bowstring's going to hit and different things like that, and it'll leave calluses and that. You know, same like also how they carry it on their shoulder, it'll leave a mark. So, you know, just those things, that's one thing. Then, of course, their stature, what their physical strength, the beauty, everything like that. "You tore down the peak of the Chaityaka Hill," right? Because he has his men watching. They tell him everything. "And entered the city as enemies do," right? "Avoiding the gate." Even though the guards saw them because they're Brahmins, they didn't bother them. But he's just saying, this is weird. "You have also refused my worship. Such behavior befits an enemy," right? Because you don't want to take something from them, then you're obliged. So if you don't take anything, you're not obliged. "I think you are Kshatriyas. Tell me honestly, for truth is the ornament even of kings." Right? So Brahmins will tell truth, but even Kshatriyas would tell truth. It's just, you know, it's the appropriate thing for them. Krishna returned the king's icy stare with a smile. "Your observations are accurate. We are not Brahmins. Kshatriyas as well as Brahmins may follow the Snataka vow." Right, so that's the whole point, is that anybody who's graduated from Gurukul, so Kshatriyas also are going to Gurukul, if they graduate, they can also follow the Snataka vow. And then once they're married, then they carry on as Kshatriyas. But before that, they would just continue that lifestyle of the Brahmacharya. So they didn't have to. So then he's saying, you know, you're accepting us as Brahmins, but Snatakas can also be Kshatriyas. But when they're living that lifestyle, then they go, they beg, they get charity and all things like that. But once they then go in and accept the Kshatriya lifestyle, they move on from Snataka into the Grihastha, then no longer do they beg and things like that. "And you have surmised correctly that we are enemies. Thus we have entered your city violently and declined your worship. We have come to beg from you a duel." Jarasandha was surprised. "I do not recall ever having done you any harm," right? Because he's like, you know, okay, you don't seem to be one of the kings that he has in prison or anything. "Indeed, I am innocent of any crime," right? Because he does follow, I mean, his Kshatriya Dharma and how he runs his kingdom and does everything nicely, but he's not dealing with other kings properly and stuff like that. "One who assails an innocent man receives sinful reactions that will send him to hell. I always observe the duties of my order, protecting the people and rendering them no harm. Why then do you see me as an enemy?" So he's running his kingdom nicely. Problem is these he's inimical towards Krishna. That means he'll be inimical towards the Pandavas. That means he'll be inimical towards God consciousness. So even though he runs his kingdom nicely, the difficulty comes is that his people won't become God conscious. You know, materially they'll prosper, but they won't be God conscious. So you see, that's the difference. In Indraprastha, they're materially prosperous, but they're God conscious. So now they're actually using the human life properly. Angry, Krishna replied, "We represent one who desires to uphold the dignity of a royal line and establish religion throughout the world. How do you consider yourself religious when you have imprisoned so many kings?" Because that's not how you're supposed to deal with kings. "You even intend to offer them as human sacrifices to Rudra. That's really not appropriate. To treat these kings as if they were beasts. Who could do such a thing except someone as sinful as yourself? You will certainly reap the results of your sinful acts, for the law of karma is infallible. Although you consider yourself without an equal, we will soon crush your pride. We wish to free the captive kings. Know me to be Krishna, and these two to be Bhima and Arjuna. Follow now your Kshatriya duty and fight with us today. Either free the kings or go to Yama's abode." Right? So now it's been presented as Kshatriyas would speak. You see, they're very straightforward, they're very honest. Like that, they may have their feelings and they're saying strongly, but it's always controlled so that the other person can now he can answer in this. So it's not a matter of a yelling match or this or that. They're saying the thing, and then Jarasandha can speak and like this. So you see, it's very very controlled. Jarasandha laughed. "I should have guessed, right? Because he's wondering who are these guys he's hearing from the you know his people, you know, from the soldiers and all that, you know, how they came and what they've done. And, you know, they knocked the top off the hill, they broke in the drum, they came over this, they stole flowers from the market, you know. So, you know, he's hearing all this, and okay, these are strange Brahmins. And then when he hears this, oh, okay, it's Krishna and Arjuna and Bhima, okay, now I understand. I should have guessed, right? My old enemy, Krishna, right? Because Krishna, much time before, had killed his son-in-law. Come in disguise to try to kill me after failing so many times. Right? But he says, no, Krishna would kill everyone up to him and then let him go, because then he'll come the next year with another army, destroy that whole army. So he's already destroyed 18 Akshahinis of seventeen Akshahinis of soldiers of Jarasandha. So then it's interesting. But Jarasandha, because of who they are, they think that he was unable to defeat him. But actually Krishna just took it up to there. That's the when you have the demoniac mentality, they can't actually see things as they are. They see things how they're perceiving, how they would deal. "That what sin have I committed by capturing kings for Shiva's pleasure? I defeated all of them fairly in battle. Therefore, it is my prerogative to do with them whatever I please." Right? But no, the point is they're humans, they're kings. You're supposed to deal like that. The idea I defeated them, I can do what I want. No, that's you can defeat them. And either, you know, establish them as the kings and say they have to pay tribute, or, you know, that someone else has to be king or things like that, but you don't keep them like this. "I will not release them out of fear of you or these other two. I will fight either by placing my troops in battle array or by standing alone against the three of you." Right? So he doesn't mind. He'll come out with his army and fight them, or just alone he'll fight them. "Or if you prefer, I will fight whichever one of you most desires death at my hands." So he's willing to fight all three of them at once. But if not, then, you know, just a single-handedly. But if you're not, okay, one-on-one. That's what they wanted. They wanted that. Because the other thing is uncertain. Krishna looked at his two friends. "It is your choice, Jarasandha." But because any of them would be, you know, would go nicely. "It is your choice, Jarasandha. Select any one of us for single combat and let that settle our dispute." As Krishna had rightly understood, Jarasandha wanted to fight with Bhima. He considered Krishna Arjuna no match for his strength. Only Bhima seemed powerful enough, because he's big, he's strong. So, and he knows, because being the king, he hears through his people what goes on. So he knows Bhima's position. And that, you know, how they've killed the Rakshasas and all that. So think, okay, he's a match. You know, Arjuna, he's not. And Krishna, he doesn't want to fight with him, you know. Bhima smiled grimly and clenched his fists. He furrowed his brows and glared at Jarasandha. They agreed to meet at sunrise, and the king left to make preparations for the fight. Jarasandha had Brahmins utter auspicious Vedic mantras over him, and he smeared his body with sacred unguents that had been offered to the gods. He then placed his son upon the throne and bound his hair in a tight knot. Right, so, because he's gone, because if he wins, okay, then he's there. But if he loses, his son's already established as the king. Removing his royal robes, he donned only a loincloth, right, because they're going to wrestle. So then all the clothes get in the way, because they're just something you can grab and throw them. As the sun rose, he went out of the city along with Bhima, for whom Krishna had performed the propitiatory ceremonies to invoke the gods. Right? He does that, but it's actually Krishna's blessing. The king had two massive clubs fetched from his armory. The two fighters took hold of the clubs and entered a large roped-off arena just outside the city gates. You know, so they've gone outside to fight. Because inside it'll be, you know, it'll scare people or it'll make a mess and things like that. So you go outside. So those people who would like to watch, they can come out and watch. But those who are not, you're not going to bother. Because if you do it inside, smashing the clubs and that may scare the children, may scare the other people like that. They appeared like two mighty lions staring at each other in fury. At a signal given by a brahmana, they rushed at each other, shaking the earth with their steps, right? Because they're 10,000 elephants and they're angry, and so they're really putting the effort. The two powerful heroes roared as they came together. They each swung huge blows, creating fearful sounds and a shower of sparks as their maces met. Right? Because they'll be iron, these are huge iron. They have to be so strong to pick them up. Wheeling and dodging, they resembled two dancers on a stage. Onlookers were dazzled by their expertise with the club. They smashed one another with all their strength, but neither gave away. Right, so just how they're swinging and that, the moves and all that, and how they dexterously move out of the way, because they're both very expert in this. Generally someone who's very, very strong, club's going to be one of their weapons. Like Bhima, he just uses fist or uses clubs. He can use all the other. He's great at bow and arrow and everything like that. But it's just that it's preferred because he's so strong, he likes the club. So that's where he'll go out and fight the elephants. Everyone else will fight the charioteers. He fights the elephants because they're also kshatriyas. But you pick up one elephant, toss him through the air so he lands on another elephant. You know, more fun. Each was as powerful as 10,000 elephants, and they merely laughed as the mace struck them, right? So the mace itself is not that strong. You know, as strong as them. Soon both clubs were shattered and they threw them aside, continuing to fight with their bare hands, because the clubs weren't strong enough. They seized each other's necks and dragged one another around the arena, each looking for an opportunity to throw his opponent down. Right, because in grappling, you're punching, you're fighting, but the thing is, you get the person on the ground, that's when then you have control of them. So in the Vedic idea, wrestling meant it was kicking, punching, and grappling. But grappling will be a thing because you throw them to the ground and that, you know, sit on them or, you know, like this, put them in holds, then, you know, they're incapacitated. So they would use all three of these aspects. Bhima grabbed his enemy and tried to crush him with his arms. Jarasandha broke free and swung out his leg, trying to unbalance Bhima. Sometimes they raised their arms, sometimes they dropped them, and sometimes they held them close. Lifting their fists, they aimed blows at particular parts of their opponent's body, and then suddenly brought them down somewhere else. The arena resounded with their shouts and the sounds of their slaps and punches. Right, so they're punching, they're slapping, so open hand, closed hand, all these various techniques are there. Both were expert wrestlers, and again they exhibited many wonderful movements. They clasped each other's arms and waists and pressed with great force. Roaring like clouds, they fought relentlessly like a pair of maddened elephants. By now a large crowd had formed around the arena. Citizens of every class came to see the fight, and they gasped in astonishment as the two men grappled. The sound coming from the arena resembled claps of thunder or a falling cliff. Right, so, so loud, so sharp the sound. The earth shook violently as they rolled about, locked together. Neither showed any sign of fatigue as the fight continued throughout the day and up until sunset. So they start at sunrise in the morning and go until sunset at night. Like that, because before sunrise, then that's when you're going to get up and do all your religious activities. And then at 6 o'clock, you're ready for work. Because generally, sunrise, the Kshatriyas would go to the court, you know, until lunch. Then lunch, they'd have their break and that, and then they spend time with the family, and then 4 o'clock, they go back out, see the troops and everything, and then at sunset, then that's when they would, you know, the end of the working day, you could say. As darkness fell, the fight was stopped until the next morning. Jarasandha invited Bhima and his two friends back to his palace and entertained them as honored guests. Even though they were enemies, Jarasandha felt duty-bound to respect them. So that would be the thing, is that during the day, it's your occupation, you're doing that, but at night, then you're dealing with ashram things, right? Because the fighting is going to be a varna thing, means they're kshatriyas. But the ashram thing, he's a grihastha, they're grihastas, and you know, they're guests at his place, you know, and they're respectable kshatriyas. And so then you entertain them as you would any guest, like that. So that's the difference in the Vedic kind of thing, is you always deal with an enemy in such a way that he won't feel you're an enemy. But at the same time, as if there is a fight, the fight is done properly. So this ability to appreciate and all that. So then, yes. So stop here, and then we'll see how the fighting continued, right? Went on for 28 days. So how it will continue from this. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki.